Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Politician James Tallarico is a lot like Bill Clinton, only a whole lot slipperier. This is Wretched Radio. James Tallarico making a bid for U.S. Senate while attending a Presbyterian seminary. John Knox wouldn't want it called Presbyterian. It is wonky liberal. The church that he attends, it has a cross with a rainbow draping around it. They're just flashing. We're about reproductive rights. In other words, this politician from Texas, he is liberal and he is smooth. And he uses his Bible to justify his absolutely ungodly policies. Preaching at his own church last year, 2025, Easter Sunday, let's listen to a fellow who doesn't understand, maybe he understands it, but he doesn't believe the gospel. Why? I have not heard or seen what we are about to work through. I suspect it's going to be a beating. It's a 20-minute homily, if you can call it that, about Easter. And I suspect you're going to hear everything but penal substitutionary atonement. You're not going to hear about Jesus Christ being brutally beaten, suffering, dying, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sins. You ain't going to hear that. I'm quite certain of it. Instead, you're going to hear one of the different theories that people have about the crucifixion. There's like almost two dozen of them. I'm pretty certain you're not going to hear the biblical version from one James Tallarico. Let's give him a hearing. We'll understand his theology and we'll understand his version of what he believes Easter to be. And this is the best part right here. When liberals watch this video and they see this James Tallarico preaching in church and infusing politics into it, no doubt, they're going to be outraged because they're going to claim that he's a Christian nationalist because you're never supposed to talk about faith and politics. Okay, that's not going to happen, is it? Why do they just get upset with conservatives when they preach in churches or when they use the Bible but not their own? I think we all know the answer to that question. Here we go.
Paul, our earliest Christian writer, clearly thinks resurrection is not just something that happened to Jesus, but something that happens to all of us.
Okay, right there. Resurrection happens to all of us. Now, if he's talking about when we die and we are then reunited with the Lord, okay.
Not just something that happened 2,000 years ago, but something that's happening all the time.
Well, what does that mean exactly?
Einstein said, there are two ways to live your life.
Gotta tell you, when you're quoting Einstein, what's our text here? Future Senator, what? Einstein.
One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. Being religious is living your life the second way.
As if everything is a miracle. Well, everything isn't a miracle. A miracle, rightly defined, is a suspension of natural law. If it doesn't somehow suspend the order of the universe, then it's not a miracle.
As though everything is a miracle. So what does the miracle of the resurrection mean for us in the here and now?
Oh, do tell. Do tell.
Well, we can't understand resurrection unless we understand crucifixion.
Okay. This guy, he's interesting. He's 34 years old here. He's calm. He's got that thing that you need to be a politician, which is why we're focusing on him, because I'm telling you, this guy is slick.
There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. So I got in a little bit of trouble last year when I said that Christian nationalists have taken Trump as their new Christ.
What happened? Where'd we go? What? How did... I thought we were going to talk about the crucifixion.
Because he's everything the first one was not. Jesus was poor. Trump is rich. Jesus was meek. Trump is strong. Jesus lost.
Hold on a second. Meekness doesn't mean you're weak. Meekness means you have strength, but it is under control. Sorry for the correction, Presbyterian seminary student.
Trump is rich. Jesus was meek. Trump is strong. Jesus lost. And Trump is obsessed with winning.
Jesus lost. This gives us a hint that his understanding of the crucifixion and the resurrection, it is not about penal substitutionary atonement. I suspect it's going to be some sort of, it could be Christus Victor. It could be ransom theory. It could be model theory, meaning that he modeled what it looks like to be a really stellar sort of guy. And you do that by losing and showing your life to be sacrificial. But that's not the same as penal substitutionary atonement. That's at least our first hint.
That last part got people really mad. So many of our fellow Christians couldn't understand why I would say Jesus lost.
Right.
In our scripture reading this morning, Jesus's top student makes the same mistake. Peter, the lead disciple, the rock on which the church is built, misunderstands what Jesus is all about. In the first century, the Jewish people were oppressed by the Roman Empire. Peter had an expectation of what a savior would do, what salvation would look like. He expected a warrior who would violently overthrow their oppressors, a general who would deliver a decisive military victory, a king like all the other kings. But in Matthew 16, Jesus pulls a bait and switch. Jesus tells Peter and the other disciples that he's going to Jerusalem, not to conquer, but to suffer.
Well, suffering, okay, but that's why he's not a loser. He did that on purpose, ordaining and ordering all events, sovereignly in control of all things. That's not losing. That's using contemporary lingo to cloud a historical reality. It was a predetermined plan. That's what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4. It was God's prearranged plan. This was intentional. Jesus was not a victim. He was a volunteer.
Not to kill, but to die. Not to win, but to lose.
No, he didn't lose. The cross was a victory. It looked like it was a defeat. That's the whole point. It looked like it, but it absolutely wasn't. It was the day on which our sins were atoned.
And Peter gets angry and rebukes Jesus. This is not how it's supposed to happen. You've got it all wrong. And then Jesus tells Peter the same thing he told the devil out in the wilderness. When the devil tempted Jesus with power, when the devil offered all the kingdoms of the world, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Then he tells his other followers, "If you're following me, you've got to pick up a cross. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life will find it."
He's not getting there yet with what his understanding of the crucifixion is.
So much of our pain comes from trying to hold on to things that are impermanent. When I was little, I learned to swim.
Okay, we just went somewhere. If you remember, the premise is without the crucifixion on Friday, you don't have Easter on Sunday. Now we're going back to swimming in his youth.
At the Wells Branch pool, just a few blocks from here. And I remember my swim teacher telling me, don't hold on to the water. Let the water hold you. She was trying to tell me to let go, to trust. That's the faith that Jesus wants us to have.
Okay. I'm wondering what this has to do with the crucifixion.
Once we let go, once we lose our little lives and join the larger life, we become eternal. Losing is fundamental for Jesus.
No, no, it's not. He gave up his life. He didn't lose it. He laid it down.
There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday.
He hasn't told us what Good Friday's about.
And on Good Friday, Jesus lost his reputation, lost his ministry, lost his friends, lost his life. And then on Sunday morning, we remember the only way to win is to lose.
Okay, he lost those things. Did you hear anything about blood being spilled for the forgiveness of sins? The answer is no, of course you didn't, because I am quite certain this fellow does not believe in penal substitutionary atonement. It is another theory. It seems right now this is the model theory. Jesus was a model of what it really looks like to win. He's what we should be seeking to be like. We should be willing to do the same thing of Jesus because he was our model, but that is not the same as penal substitutionary atonement. We'll continue listening to this sermon of James Tallarico next on Wretched Radio.
Conflict. That's not an if in your life, that's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. The question is whether those disagreements turn your home into a war zone or something you can actually resolve. That's what our resource Conflict is all about. Todd Friel, who admits he's an expert in conflict, mostly because he's caused so much of it, and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. They'll walk you through biblical reconciliation step by step so you can actually heal what's been broken. If you're exhausted from the same arguments on repeat, if your home feels more like a battlefield than a refuge, there is a better way, and it's not another self-help technique. It is Scripture. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that plus the Masters University isn't woke. And it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Here's a question. Do you think like a Christian, or do you just believe like one? See, a lot of evangelicals have accidentally split their brain in two. Faith goes in one box, logic, science, politics, morality, well, that all goes in another. And then we wonder why Christians sound just like everyone else when we talk about economics, education, or anything outside of Sunday morning. Wretched Worldview endeavors to fix that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand tackle 22 real-world issues through a biblical lens. Capitalism versus socialism, women in the military, global warming, eugenics, guns, stay-at-home moms, and then they show you what it actually looks like to think Christianly about all of it. And here's the best part. It's not just 22 answers. It's a framework. By the end, you'll have tools to build a biblical worldview on any issue that comes your way. Wretched Worldview. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness, He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's no doubt James Tallarico, a swing and a miss, but sadly, it's probably not as bad as a lot of church services this Easter. People in staggering percentages do not understand what the gospel is. Now, there are some evangelicals that actually do. They just don't articulate it well. But then there are other professing Christians, like Senate candidate James Tallarico, who denies the classic understanding of the gospel, what the crucifixion was about, what Easter Sunday was about. A lot of evangelicals, they just biff it in all kind of ways, although they kind of understand it. This guy has joined the liberal movement that redefines what Easter is all about. Let's continue listening to this rather placid sermon about Easter Sunday.
This was unpopular in the first century, and it's still unpopular today. Today, Christian nationalists reject what they call loser theology.
Okay, wait. Is this about Easter, or is this about slamming Republicans? Wait, what are we doing here? And where are the liberals rising up in one voice? Hey, politics and church, that's a big no-no.
Joel Webben, a Christian nationalist pastor up here in Georgetown, said, "We cannot afford to be divine losers. We need to win. I want to win. I want to reward my friends and crush my enemies." Sounds a lot like Peter. I mean, aren't we all tempted by power? Don't we all yearn for control? We all want to ride a war horse, but Jesus rides a donkey.
This is such a mess. This is such a mess. Was just reading a critique on a totally different hyper-dispensationalism last night. And the conclusion of the author in making his way through hyper-dispensationalism was that it was just horribly mangled use of scripture, a horrific hermeneutic, no care for context, just, oop, there's, yep, okay, grab, over here. And what you're hearing right now is not only that, it's relatively incoherent. This is supposed to be Easter Sunday. It's supposed to be about he's going to be defining the crucifixion and the resurrection. Are you hearing it?
We all want to pick up a sword, but Jesus picks up a cross. We all want to be a lion, but Jesus is a lamb. We want to crush our enemies, but Jesus calls us to love our enemies.
Although on the cross, if I'm not mistaken, he crushed his enemy. Pretty certain that's what was going on there.
It's because we want to win the game. Jesus wants to change the game.
No, he died for sinners that we might be saved. This is the model theory. Pretty certain this is the model theory. Knowing that he would not find his way to penal substitutionary atonement, I printed up now, I spared you some pain because there are between 15 and 20 different atonement theories. These are at least put into some classifications, not perfect, but you'll get the gist. And that's why when you listen to an Easter Sunday sermon or a Good Friday sermon, if your church does that, make sure that penal substitutionary atonement is front and center, because there's the victory, the cosmic defeat models. These are Christus Victor ransom theories, that this is all about the Jesus defeated sin, death, and demonic powers. It's more about enslavement, however, than it is about legal guilt. That's what the cross was about. We are legally guilty. The satisfaction was being provided by Jesus on the cross. Christus Victor, et cetera, it says, no, Jesus was just, he was winning. Interesting. There's the healing model. So this would be the recapitulation theory, theosis, the incarnational theory. Humanity, we're sick, but he restores our human nature. No legal penalty paid. This is just about being broken, not courtroom guilt. Are you hearing anything about that from this fellow? There's the subjective transformational models. So this is the moral influence example, the martyr theory. I suspect that's what James Tallarico is. The cross, it changes us. It reveals love. It inspires us to be sacrificial. Dare I say it changes the game. But there's no transaction. There's it's just about human response, not divine wrath being satisfied. It's about Jesus being a model, which I got to tell you is really dopey in my estimation, because he modeled being crucified. Is that, I mean, if it's, are we supposed, is that what we're supposed to be doing? The question, of course, if he was just modeling it, there was no point to it. Not so if he was, if Jesus were just a model, it was a very gruesome, bad model. But that's not what he was. Was he showing sacrifice? Of course he was, but that wasn't really the main thrust of the cross. It is about forgiveness of sins. All right, a couple more of these categories. Solidarity, participation models. These are people who would say that he represents us. He enters our condition. He fulfills our role. So it's about representation, but it's not about punishment. And you got other models, the scapegoat model, it's completely ridiculous. The cross exposes human violence and injustice. It rejects that God requires or, oh, heaven forbid, inflicted punishment on Jesus. Violence was being perpetrated by people. It was not divine justice. It wasn't God pouring out his wrath on people. These are just individuals that were really, really mad at Jesus. I suspect he fits into that moral category, the example category.
Think about our modern world. The people at the top, the Elon Musks, the Rupert Murdochs of the world, work so hard to keep us angry and divided because our unity is a threat to their wealth and power. So their social media algorithms and their cable news networks tear us apart.
Easter, anyone?
It's the oldest
Easter,
strategy
anybody?
In the world, divide and conquer.
Oh, my. Coming from somebody who espouses critical race theory, which is all about dividing and conquering. Aye.
They don't care if we hate them as long as we hate each other. But by refusing to be divided, by staying in relationship with each other,
Easter,
we keep alive the
Easter.
Possibility of a different world.
Easter. Hello.
Loving our enemies allows us to listen to each other.
Crucifixion.
To learn.
Resurrection.
From one another, and ultimately come together to take power back for ourselves and our communities.
Wait. Whoa. Did I just catch that? Hey, all these powerful people, we need to be unified so that they don't have all this power so that we can have it. Oh, that smell, that odor, that would be hypocrisy.
Love has always been a threat to the powers that be. Jesus is not asking us to be passive. Love is not passive. Love is not neutral. Love is not weak. It's true, you can't fight fire with fire, but you also can't fight fire with a dripping faucet.
Okay, I thought he was saying earlier that Jesus modeled what it means to be weak and to be a loser or something like that. Now he's basically saying, well, not like completely, because well, we want to be able to have those things ourselves.
You fight fire with a fire hose. Can I say in church? I just realized. Okay.
No, you can't.
It's better than the alternative, I guess.
No.
Jesus didn't spend his life passively accepting evil. Jesus didn't stay in Nazareth. He went to Jerusalem, the seat of political, social, and economic power. Palm Sunday was not a parade. It was a protest.
It was?
Overturning the tables in the temple was an act of civil disobedience.
So, wait a second. So are you saying we're supposed to be weak or civilly disobedient? Are you calling for civil disobedience?
Crucifixion was the punishment for rebels. God didn't invent the cross. Rome did. If you don't think Easter is political, then reread your Bible.
I guess I'm going to have to. If you don't think Easter is political, you need to reread your Bible. That's exactly what he does. He rereads his Bible. What is he? How does he do that? Well, he has preconceived notions, and then he goes and finds a way to make the Bible say what he already thinks. That's what this fellow is. This guy is a classic liberal. Now, this is, we are halfway through this little 20-minute pep talk, this little political rally he put on Easter Sunday. Is the guy smooth? Yeah. Does he know how to speak Bible? Well, yeah, he uses Bible lingo. It's just that all the words have been redefined and he's infused new meanings into them. But this guy, I'm telling you, is dangerous. This guy is T-R-O-U-B-L-E, a big problem. Why? Because he mangles scripture and he does it so smoothly. Be on the lookout for one James Tallarico. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A Biden-appointed federal judge in Oregon has blocked the Trump administration's declaration that transgender medical procedures on children are neither safe nor effective. The judge accused the administration of trying to, quote, see if it can get away with it, calling it inconsistent with democratic governance. New York Attorney General Letitia James celebrated, declaring she will, quote, always fight for the LGBTQ community. Here's the good news for taxpayers, however. The ruling doesn't touch the separate HHS rules barring hospitals performing these procedures on minors from participating in Medicare and Medicaid. So your tax dollars may still be spared from funding what growing numbers of European countries have already abandoned as reckless medicine. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is investigating 13 states suspected of forcing healthcare workers to cover abortion against their conscience. HHS's Office of Civil Rights is targeting California, Colorado, New York, Illinois, and 9 other states with mandates that appear to violate the Weldon Amendment, which protects providers from being punished for refusing to pay for abortions. The DOJ has filed suit against Harvard University, accusing the school of fostering a campus climate where anti-Semitism thrives. The filing alleges Harvard rewarded students who assaulted and harassed their Jewish and Israeli peers while failing to enforce its own rules against the mobs occupying its buildings. Attorney General Pam Bondi said the administration is demanding better from institutions receiving billions in taxpayer subsidies. Speaking of hostility toward people of faith, a resurfaced interview shows California Governor Gavin Newsom's wife calling evangelical Christians a drag on the country. Jennifer Newsom claimed conservatives are, quote, pulling us back as a country to a time and a place we don't deserve to be. She also tried to redefine pro-life to mean universal preschool and government health care, essentially everything except the part about not ending a life. And the timing here is worth noting, as Newsom reportedly spends $19 million polishing his image ahead of a possible 2028 presidential run. North of the border, Ontario Premier Doug Ford is shutting down the province's remaining supervised drug consumption sites, calling them a failed experiment. You think? All 7 remaining sites will close by mid-June. Records show Canada's federal government spent over $800 million on its drug strategy from 2017 to 2022, with even the health department admitting the results were minimal. A drug decriminalization trial in British Columbia actually saw overdose deaths increase over 3,000 in 15 months. Ontario will be directing funds toward treatment and recovery instead. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you don't think Easter is political, then reread your Bible.
One of us is getting this wrong. And I am waiting for all of the liberals to say, hey, wait a second. He's infusing his religion into politics. Cue the crickets. You ain't going to hear it. James Tallarico, Easter Sunday last year, supposedly preaching about the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Because during Holy Week, we Christians should be asking ourselves what tables still need to be overturned.
Wow. He's sounding kind of nationalistic. He's sounding like he's maybe inciting, I don't know, rebellion? Is that what he's coaching?
The way of Jesus is not fight or flight. It's a third way. The way of nonviolent resistance.
Well, you ain't talking like that.
A way of confronting violence without mirroring it. A way of extinguishing evil with love.
Easter.
Love not just for our friends,
Easter.
But for our enemies too.
The Resurrection.
Muhammad said something similar.
Now the Presbyterian Seminary student is quoting the prophet Muhammad. The prophet who married a six-year-old. That same prophet are we talking about?
He said, help your brother, whether he is oppressed or whether he is an oppressor. The prophet was asked, how do we help him if he's an oppressor? The prophet replied, by stopping him from oppressing.
I don't know what surah he's citing, but he's quoting a man whose religion was propagated by the sword. Yeah, and notice too, is about your brother, if it's a fellow Muslim. But toward the infidels, they're to be slain. Once again, selective choosing of surahs from the Quran at the Presbyterian Easter service.
Nonviolence takes seriously the belief that we are all sacred.
I wonder if he's on record of denouncing all of the violence that has taken place in liberal cities as liberals incited violence and burned cities down. Paging Minneapolis, did he decry that? Can he cite the violence of conservatives? Waiting.
But we are all holy, even our enemies.
No, unless our enemies are in Christ, they're not holy. Because the only way we can be holy is to be made holy, which is what Easter is about, but not this sermon. Where are we? Hello.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, good.
A devout Hindu.
Great.
Summed up nonviolence by saying, there are many causes I would die for, but there is not a single cause I would kill for.
Okay, whatever. The guy's ecumenical beyond biblical bounds. He's quoting Muhammad and Gandhi. Where's your Bible quote? Can we get to the Bible? Hello, it's Easter. You're in a Presbyterian church.
Like Jesus, Gandhi feared evil more than he feared death.
Like Jesus, Gandhi feared evil. So Jesus feared evil? I don't think so, son.
That's the choice in front of us. During Holy Week, we often say that Jesus died for us.
Yeah.
But what we forget is that right before he died, he turned that back on us.
Huh?
He said, this is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you.
Again, it's like, where are you? It's like, okay, now this is John 17, I presume, when he was teaching them before the passion began in the garden. This is just a disjointed dog's breakfast.
And there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for others. So during Holy Week, we should ask ourselves, who are we willing to die for? Are we willing to die for our friends? Are we willing to die for our neighbors? Are we willing to die for our enemies? Because on Easter, we remember true love goes to the bitter end. It goes to the cross.
What is he asking? Now, everything he's saying, it's Christianese. You know, you hear the words in there. What is he saying? What is he asking for here? What is the point of this? This is supposed to be about Resurrection Sunday.
On April 8th, 1945, 8 days after Easter, the Nazi regime executed a German pastor because Dietrich Bonhoeffer challenged political power in the name of love.
Challenged it? It was more than a challenge. And there was violence involved with an assassination of a leader. Now, I bring that up because he keeps telling us it's not about violence. It's not about mirroring doing bad things. And yet, what is he calling for here? If I were a liberal, you know what I would say if I were a liberal? He's calling for the assassination of Donald Trump. That's what I would say if I were a liberal, but I'm not, so I wouldn't say that.
On April 4th, 1968, 10 days before Easter, a white supremacist assassinated a Baptist minister at the Lorena Motel in Memphis, Tennessee.
What does it being 10 days away from Easter have to do with, you know, Easter?
Because Martin Luther King Jr. challenged social power in the name of love. And on March 24th, 1980, 9 days before Easter,
okay,
military forces in El Salvador, backed by American corporations, shot and killed a Catholic priest while he was giving communion. Because Oscar Romero challenged economic power in the name of love.
Liberation theology? That must be what he is also. Liberation guy. That it's all about oppression and setting people free. Is that his understanding of Easter? Because if you recall, I'm sorry to have to remind you, but this is actually supposed to be an Easter sermon, is what this is.
Like Jesus, these Christians spoke love to power and lost. But right before his murder, Father Romero said, as a Christian, I don't believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, I will rise again in the people of El Salvador.
Okay, that has nothing to do with Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We've now quoted a Roman Catholic priest. We've Mahatma Gandhi. We've quoted the prophet Muhammad. Bible verse? Do we have any Bible verses?
Scripture reminds us that a seed spreads when it's crushed.
Huh. Jimmy, do you know what verse said? A seed spreads when it's crushed.
I can't say that I do.
I mean, that's the pattern of the universe.
Is it?
Creation out of destruction. Life out of death. Resurrection out of crucifixion. Reality is shaped like a cross. Violence may win in the short run, but in the end, love always wins.
Okay, who's being violent here, sir? Your team. Your team's being violent everywhere. This is what just makes it so galling. It's like you're preaching this sermon against the violence of the right. What cities have conservatives burned down? What assassination attempts by conservatives have there been? Please.
Or as Paul said, love never fails.
There, we got a Bible verse. There it is. Love never fails. I thought we were going to get all the way through this thing without a Bible verse. I wonder if some people at this Presbyterian Church left after hearing that parenthetical Bible verse.
On Easter, we remember that the last word doesn't belong to suffering. It doesn't even belong to death. The last word belongs to love.
Okay. Okay.
A few weeks ago, I met with the Uvalde families, the parents who lost their children in the massacre at Robb Elementary School, a suffering beyond comprehension.
I'm not sure which one this was. Jimmy, was this one of the transgender people that shot up the school shootings?
I'm looking.
Yeah, I can't remember. Was it somebody wearing a MAGA hat? I don't think that would, no, that's none of them. You get my point.
But these families still make the 160-mile drive from Uvalde to the state capitol to advocate for gun safety, to prevent what happened to them from happening to any other family. Out of their despair, a larger love was born. That's the miracle of resurrection.
Okay, so it's about love. So Jesus modeled love. All right, why? What was he modeling? What was being accomplished? So you're telling me the best way to model love is a gruesome death that apparently has no point or purpose. That's what love is. Sorry, this illustration, I've used it before, but it still stands. A dude goes running down a pier, jumps into the water, screaming, "I love you," and drowns. You'd go, what was the point of that? Bingo. What's the point of Jesus' crucifixion? Was it an act of love? Of course, but it had a purpose. It had a point. And that point and purpose was penal substitutionary atonement. This fellow, he probably knows that. I suspect if you asked him, do you affirm penal substitutionary atonement? He would say, no, no, I don't. It's some other theory that is obviously sub-biblical and thoroughly infused with politics. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Seriously, I mean it. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do here at Fortis Institute, not just with Wretched Radio, but with all of our other content that we're producing on a daily basis. Whatever keeps you coming back and showing up, we don't take that lightly. There is a reality about all of this, and that's that producing daily radio like Wretched takes resources, it takes studio time, equipment, staff, distribution, and it all adds up. And the reason that we are able to continue doing this at the level that we've been doing it is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who have linked arms with us and give to this ministry so that we can stay on the air and reach more people in more places all over the world. And so if our ministry has ever been a source of encouragement for you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have at FortisInstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually. And eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortis Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. We're talking about marriage when things aren't easy and mental health and whether the Bible has real answers. Biblical manhood for a generation that's never been really given a model to follow. These are in-depth conversations with people like Dr. Jason Lyle, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Kratz, teachers who take the Bible seriously and don't shy away from the hard topics. These Fortis Forums are all on Fortis Plus for you to watch right now for free. And they're ready when you are. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org and see what biblical depth actually looks like.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
In the Gospels, the resurrection accounts are stories of mistaken identity. The disciples mistake Jesus for a gardener and a fisherman. They're seeing Christ all over the place.
What is going on here?
Resurrection is when we see Christ in everyone and everything.
Well, he's not. He's their creator. But the only ones in whom he dwells are those who have repented and put their trust in him. What is this?
Do you know people who love Jesus but don't seem to love anyone else? Scripture says in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. If you don't love others as your equals, if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, then you are not in Christ.
Whoa, That's judgmental.
Matthew 25 tells us how we will be judged. And
okay, here we go. Great. This is just butchery.
Saved.
Wait. Did you hear him sneak that in? Hold on. This needs to be heard.
Matthew 25 tells us how we will be judged and saved.
No, it doesn't. We will be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, not based on what we do. What we do is an indicator of what we believe and what we have become, but it is not what saves us. Dude, come on, man. You're a Protestant, at least to some degree. You should know the gospel is not about what we do.
By feeding the hungry, by healing the sick, by welcoming the stranger, by visiting the prisoner. Nothing about being a Christian. Nothing about going to church. Nothing about reading the Bible.
Oh, this is just so agitating.
Just helping people.
That's it. That's how you go to heaven, right there. Just help people. Don't go to church. Just help people and you get to go to heaven. What? This was a Presbyterian seminary?
Just loving. Christ said, what we do for the least of these, we do for him. So where is Christ today? Christ is the immigrant, deported without due process. Christ is the senior, deprived of their Social Security benefits.
No, he's not. Who's denying seniors Social Security benefits anyway? And aren't people who are in the country illegally actually breaking the law?
Christ is the protester kidnapped in an unmarked vehicle by plainclothes officers. Christ is the student.
Wait a second. Protester? What was he? Was it the ICE that arrested somebody? I don't know who he's talking about here, but if they were breaking the law, then they weren't kidnapped. They were arrested.
Sitting in an overcrowded classroom in a defunded school.
Boy, this is manipulative stuff. And it's totally incoherent.
Sometimes I wonder, what would Jesus do if he visited the Texas legislature? What would he say to me and my colleagues? I think he would tell us, depart from me.
Mm.
For I was hungry and you cut my food stamps.
Oh, I've heard this before.
And you kicked me off Medicaid.
Okay. I'm going to fast forward just because I think we all get the point. I can't take it no more. I don't know where this is going
to
queue up.
To affirm our suffering. To affirm the hard parts of life. Father Richard Rohr, one of my favorite writers.
Figures.
Says there are two ways to meet God. Great love and great suffering.
I thought it was through Jesus. I guess maybe they know something outside of the Bible. I don't.
Because those are the only two things strong enough to break our egos, to free us of our desire for power and control, to force us to finally let go. The Sufi poet Rumi put it.
We've quoted more pagans than Paul. And by the way, did you notice, not that I anticipated that this would happen, but we didn't hear, all right, everybody, open up your Bible and we're going to study this text. No, this is a political stump speech inside of a church. That's all this is. This is politics with a pastiche of liberal Christianity.
This way, he said, the wound is the place the light enters you. The wound is the place the light enters you.
I can't think of a parallel Bible verse.
In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, blessed are you who weep. I think because sometimes we see the world most clearly through our tears. If your heart is breaking right now, it means you still have a heart.
No, Jesus was talking about when you weep over your sins. Because that's the posture of the individual who's been confronted with their own sinfulness. They weep over it.
It means you're still human. Protect that. Trust that. That is what will get us out of all this.
Oh.
Blessed are you who weep. It's strange celebrating Easter without Dr. Jim.
It's strange that you think you're actually celebrating Easter.
But as we await the return of our beloved teacher, we continue the work. We fill in and carry on. When you leave this service and you walk outside, you'll see flowers blooming, birds returning. In spring, what was once dead is resurrected. Martin Luther said, God has written the promise of resurrection, not in scripture alone, but in every leaf in springtime. Everything is a miracle. In spring, we celebrate new beginnings, baptisms, weddings, graduations.
Being born again, being raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. No.
It's also the holiest time of year.
Why?
Millions of people across the globe celebrate Passover, okay. Easter, Why? And Ramadan.
Dude is ecumenically consistent.
We may use different lyrics, but we are singing the same hymn.
No, we're not. That's heresy. That's it. That's heresy. He just said basically different tune, same song. As the Muslim, as a Jewish person who doesn't believe in their Messiah. Okay, I'm sorry. We don't drop this word randomly or casually or slap it down like the Pharisee card. What you just heard is heresy. So this young man is a heretic.
Out of domination comes liberation. Out of darkness comes light. And out of death comes life. Winter doesn't last forever. Spring is finally here, and love wins in the end. I invite you now to your own thoughts on these words.
There's nothing to contemplate in any coherent fashion. That was pablum from beginning to end. That wasn't an Easter message. Shame. Shame on that church. Shame on him for delivering a political homily that was nothing short of just a liberal screed covered with some badly used Bible verses. And where's the press? Where are all the people who decry those of us who think that somehow the Bible just might inform our thinking about political issues, that we're members of we're Nazis or KKK? Or we're Christian nationalists. The irony, yeah, thick. The agitation, here's where it lies for me. Those people that are sitting there, they heard nothing hopeful. They heard nothing that would be wind underneath their wings, nothing to lift them up, nothing to exhort, nothing to encourage, nothing that gives them an actual sure footing on which to stand. That was just all platitudinal pablum of the political persuasion. There, I did it. That was a good alliteration right there. What can we take from this hash? Let's make sure we do better. Let's make sure that we don't lose sight of the gospel. Let's make sure that when we preach it on Sunday morning, that we celebrate penal substitutionary atonement, that Jesus died intentionally. He was the victor. He defeated death. He wasn't a loser. This is a glorious day, but it is only magnificent when we recognize what was actually happening on that day, that Jesus Christ was paying the penalty for our sin in his life's blood. We have to do better than this fellow at articulating that. Now, most likely at churches on Easter Sunday, they're not going to be quoting Gandhi, but they can lose their way. And they can lose sight of it because we so often confuse, water down, or forget the actual gospel, which is this: Jesus died for sinners. And so on Easter Sunday, we need to preach the right Jesus. Furthermore, we need to preach that he died for sinners, that we might be reconciled to God. Let's make sure that our evangelistic confessions, they include penal substitutionary atonement, because any other version of crucifixion and resurrection, sorry, don't want to use it casually. It's heresy. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.